Hey, everybody. Couldn't have asked for a more exciting show this morning. We were joined by the one and only Maren Altman, the crypto technical analysis astrologist. She's huge on social media. You know, us in the crypto space, we often will make trades based on her predictions that come from astrology. And we had her on the show to dig into, you know, how she approaches her trading and just learn a little bit more about her, astrology mindset and everything in between. As you can imagine, it's a lot of fun. She even invited us to her birthday party. It was just too funny. Besides that, we talked about the Adidas NFT. We talked about Kevin Rose and Moonbirds and, you know, some of the other stories of the NFT space, like Pepe Yacht Club. As usual, our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, August 9th. This is the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern each and every week, where we discuss all of the stories of the NFT space, all the projects that are ripping, all the projects that are dipping, and everything in between. The show's focused on market talk, and if you want to contribute, raise your hand, request to speak, come on stage, and discuss what you're seeing in the market. No self-promotion, of course. People don't want to listen to an ad, but we want new speakers on stage to bring different flavor. And hey, let's make it a good show, right? I'm Pio. I'm here with my co-host, Nifty Nick, one of the original Bored Apes, probably the best known Bored Ape there is. No, I'm just kidding, but all around great and funny guy, magnificent performer. We got Signal, one of the newest notable Moonbirds and one of the best writers in the NFT space that's actually putting out daily written content through our platform on NFTs each and every day. We got King Kicks. Nobody made more money than him during the bull run that didn't have Bored Apes. Easy Eats Bodega, the most technical trader on Solana and maybe one of the most technical in the NFT space, about to just straight out break out over here. We got Depeche Node going node mode, new podcast rolling out for Node next week called Node Mode. So you already know you got to look out for that. And Quadzilla, another extremely talented trader that's been around the block for over a year now. Micah G, what more can I say about him? Had a Bored Ape, dominated Top Shot. He's in the building. And of course, we have guests Eddie and Arena. Arena, one of the most talented artists in the space. I own one of her pieces. So it's going to be a fantastic show today. Shout out to our sponsor, FTX, the best crypto trading platform built for traders by traders. If you sign up with our code by going to thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app, if you spend over $200 on a cryptocurrency of your choice, then you'll get a $20 bonus popped into your account in that cryptocurrency. So definitely do it. They just rolled out fractional shares, stock trading without payment for order flow. So your trades are not going to be front run. We have a action-packed show today. My fingers are crossed that we're going to get a guest that is going to just totally burn the house down or whatever the hell the saying is these days. My fingers are crossed. I think she's actually going to come. This is going to be so damn cool, but I'm getting all excited here. I'm running my mouth a little too much. I got to throw to my co-host, who's much more level-headed than me. Nifty Nick, what's going on?
Please stand by. You just called in to 1-900 Maren Altman's astrology forecasting for crypto markets. That's a phone number. It's a very long phone number. Never mind that. I think you'd get cut off at Maren Alt, maybe even Alt. But anyways, you're on hold. Please stand by. We're going to connect it to the one and only Maren, or someone who sounds like her or something like that, because we can't handle all of the demand at this moment calling into this phone line. Please stand by. Looks like we've got someone here. Connecting you now, please. Thank you. 1 second.
Oh, you've connected to me. Thank you for calling in. This is the one and only, the Astrology for Crypto Traders Hotline. You've connected is quite scary out there right now.
My voice changed. Never mind that.
It's very scary in the market. The numbers went up and now they're down. You must be wondering what's going to happen, you traitor. Not an evil traitor, but a traitor. I want to make that clarification to let you know, understand that I understand you. You're just a traitor. You try to make money, but sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Anyway, you know, the moons are rotating around the planets. And we're trying to utilize that rotation to get a good understanding of whether or not the market's going up and down. Right now, it's going down. But in the future, that's what you've called in for. So I will now read you what you've been waiting for after I delay long enough, because this is $9.99 per minute and I like to roll over an extra minute just so I can get a little extra charge. At 1-900 Mayor Altman's astrology and crypto trading forecasting prediction. That's the phone number. It looks like I can see into your future. I am reading it, and the signal is being cast down from the moons, and it says, buy Bitcoin. That's what it told me. It says, buy Bitcoin. I'm just telling you what the sign told me. Thank you for calling.
Very specific.
You've now paid $25 for this call. Thank you for calling.
That was so perfect. It made my morning. Thank you.
Yeah, that was first of all, I got to get that phone number. I'm ready to donate to that cause, or I guess just participate as a customer. Very specific direction that you got from that hotline, Nick.
No, this is the hotline. You're dialed into the hotline. You didn't hang up, and that's a problem. It's now $35 that you've paid for this hotline. Thank you for that. It's very specific. Not from me. It's from the universe that sent that signal down into my body and into my mind and enabled me to transmit that to you in a very at a pace that has enabled us to make a consistent profit on this hotline.
Well, it sounds like a lucrative business for sure. So we will see what the future holds over the next hour and 15 minutes.
The bigger question that we're wondering on this hotline, sorry to interrupt you there, but I get carried away sometimes on this hotline. What we're trying to find out is if we can get the real Marin to give us this forecast, because recently I have found that we always look to her for support. She's our trainer. She trains us on reading these things. And, I'm now on this hotline full time because I got just absolutely wrecked with my own trade. So, but maybe you have better luck.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are in the same boat. So hopefully we can get the real Marin to come. We will see. I'm like a giddy little kid just waiting to see if I get the, if we get the result that we're looking for. But before we go any further, I got to see how Signal's doing. Signal, have you ever called into that hotline that Nick was just calling into? Or actually that Nick was the hotline?
Not that particular hotline, but I do remember about 15 years ago calling into one of those hotlines in a newspaper. I don't know why. I just did it.
And are you in a massive conference room?
Are you stuck in the bathroom, Signal?
Well, I'm in between hotel rooms, and there's nowhere for me to go in this hotel that has a quiet spot. So I am in I'm in the gym. In a room that no one is using, so it's just full of bicycles. That's where I am currently at the moment. I'm waiting for my room to for hospitality to do my room so I can go in. But going back to your question, Nick, I have actually called one of these lines before, and I remember as I called them, it was one of those horoscope lines. They would tell you how much you're spending as you're waiting because you're in a queue. And I remember it just got to like $14-$15, and I was like, no, fuck this, and just hung up, because like the whole point is for them to just keep you on the line as long as possible. So I haven't called your line. Thanks for doing that for free for everyone, and I'll be listening to these calls more and more so I can get this great advice.
Well, it sounds like the room that you're in is totally ideal for podcast recording.
I mean, put the phone next to your mouth would be the
We'll see. I'm just convinced that Signal missed her workout and was like, well, I'm just going to multitask and I'll be on this bike during the show because, she's prioritizing her workout. It's okay. We'll remember that, Signal. But over to the king, he's not the wizard. He's not the person that's actually, forecasting the future, but he is the person that's providing the weather forecast today. So shout out to the one and only King Kicks. Again, nobody made more money during the bull run than King Kicks if they did not have Bored Apes. King Kicks, please, sir, take it away.
Hello, hello. Good morning, everybody. It is the 9th of August, Tuesday. OpenSea volume actually looking pretty good. It was $17 million, so 10% above the average. So we had a little bit of action over the last 24 hours. We have apes at 80, just below 85, mutants hanging around 16, punks at 74. So the Yuga Labs looking good, other deeds just above 2, moonbirds at 15, doodles at 9, and clone X at 8.1. I know there's a lot of potato lovers out there. Potato lovers, the floor is at 1.4. Crypto dick butts at 3.4. And crowd favorite, Rare Apepe at 0.65. Also, some people in our Discord were jumping in on eight aliens at 0.25. Nice win there. I think at least a 50%. Gainer for the people in the crowd. But getting into what happened overnight, so speaking of the Rare Apepes, they are leading the OpenSea ranks, number one in volume. They initially shot up to like 0.3 out of the gate or somewhere like that, but there was a good opportunity to get these in the 0.2, 0.3 range for a couple of days. Went on a huge volume run overnight. That floor went up to 0.75 this morning, down to 0.65 as of right now, but still great trade overall. The Grails 2 mint passes were airdropped for Proof and Moonbirds that have the Grail trait. Next week, holders can swap the pass for one of the revealed pieces on the Grails website. The floor for those passes is currently sitting right around 4 ETH. Eight aliens. If you know how to say that, man, that's skill, is number three in the OpenSea ranks. It was a free mint. It was originally meant to be in the Magic ecosystem, but I guess they decided against that, brought it over to Ethereum. The collection has no secondary royalty, but the team kept back 10% of the supply for founders. As I said, that floor is at 0.25. Brian Brinkman brought it into the portal Discord, which was great. And then to just wrap things up in the fine art play category, the curated the NFT fund bought Ringers. The weekend spent 40 Ethereum on 47 fuck render pieces, and a rare crypto dick butt sold for 37 ETH. We got Bitcoin at just above 23K, ETH just above 1700. That's it for your weather report. Back in the studio.
Fantastic weather report as usual, Kicks. And I just have to say, we have a guest of honor on stage right now. So we have your personal poet for the stars. She's mainly on TikTok, where she has 1.3 million followers. She is the founder of Astrace, which is an omni-layer astro cryptography.
Sorry, Astrace?
I'm doing my best.
Yeah, I know. You can meme it. It wasn't intentional, but it's unavoidable. Anything with astrology, it's going to fucking turn into that.
We're here for it. She is your number one astrology-based crypto market analyst, the one and only Maren Altman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here learning. I've been listening. I wasn't aware of these collections and what was happening, so happy to be here.
Wow. Well, look, we are so excited to have you. You know, we started noticing, like I think the broader crypto and NFT markets were noticing, that your predictions were not only, you know, directionally accurate, but literally spot on, you know, to the day in multiple instances. And so we're just so excited to have you. We'd love to understand, you know, is there method to the magic, I guess? Like, I'd love to understand, how do you actually create these predictions? I understand it's a combination of technical and astrology, but I just love to hear a little bit about that. And then we have a number of questions that we'd love to ask you.
Yeah, so I like to say that it's basically like a human computer is what I'm operating as. I'm looking at planetary positions and the geometry between these planets. None of it is intuitive or magical. I'm sure you can say magic, stuff like that, but really, I'm looking at planetary positions. I'm backtesting it to see what's happened in the previous instances of this. It's very much first-order logic, if this, then that statement. So if this planet is in this aspect to this other planet, then bullish or bearish. Similar to how if this was happening to someone's birth chart, it would be good, bad life events. There's different time frames, but it's pretty much just a hierarchy of order and a hierarchy of different layers and different planetary cycles I'm looking at, weighing them out in such a way where I can decide, okay, this many cycles are pointing this way, they're more important, so it's more bearish or bullish bias. And then for trading, it's technical analysis based. So I'm looking at support resistance levels and entering and exiting according to what my bias is. But for example, I can be wrong. I can analyze the astrology incorrectly and not make a wrong trade because I just don't enter when I don't get that entry as I expected. So I'm basically analyzing patterns, backtesting them, and then responding to the market accordingly with technical analysis.
So I'm wondering, like, are you actively trading based on all this information?
Absolutely.
And is that like your main thing at this point? Is just trading?
That's been my only thing basically for the past 2 years.
You must be making an absolute killing. I mean, given the combination of the technical and the astrology, I guess which one came first, the astrology side or the crypto side?
I actually grew up pretty obsessed with astrology. When I was learning to read and I was given newspapers, I took a liking to the horoscopes because the words were just cool in my opinion, and grew up being that weird girl obsessed with planets and always asleep over since like looking at people's charts. And then when I was in high school, I began to really get into world religions and even like just empires and historical cycles, and that led to less personality astrology and more study of world cycles and world events. And then college, I focused on philosophy, which I wrote mostly about like either ethics or metaphysics, and brought astrology into a lot of that and studied the history of it. And then I didn't find crypto or finance until I was graduating 2 years ago, and I realized I needed to open a bank account. So astrology was there for much, much longer, and I'm very much a beginner in terms of understanding like capital markets and macro or anything like that. So I claim no authority in anything but just looking at like charts and candlesticks really.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense to me because of the depth of your astrology experience. I found out about you because a friend of mine's girlfriend, who is not in crypto at all, but she's into astrology, showed me your content. And so I'm wondering, have you found that combining the astrology and doing it so well and making such great content, but then integrating the crypto and the market side, have you found that that's onboarded people? Like, do people reach out to you and say, oh my God, you know, because of your content or because of the things that you're putting out, I've actually gotten into crypto and it's had a positive impact on my life. You know, I'm making money now because I'm learning, you know, and that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you.
Sorry, I'm muted, so you're going to have to unmute.
Sorry, I'm in Mykonos, so it's so windy to where I really hope you guys can hear me, because there's just no way to avoid the wind anywhere, absolutely, on the island. Like, I don't know why anyone vacations here, frankly. It's a trip. Like, the wind is fucking...
She's trading so hard that she's now on a remote island, so I mean, that's pretty good.
I'm excited to get back into a city, though, frankly. To answer your question, yeah, it is pretty amazing to hear this many people saying things like that, from young women by me on TikTok being like, I just bought my first NFT because of you, or I put my first $100 onto my MetaMask because of you, to people in crypto who are like, often it's my girlfriend loves you, like, let's get a pic, like that kind of thing, which is always really sweet, really humbling. And actually coming to where I am now and making us like, 20 minutes ago, this valet driver came up and was like, can you tell me something about the market? I was like, no, I'm on vacation right now. So it can be really, I mean, you're just like, I'm carrying on my day-to-day life, and people will all the time make little comments. And I just had someone, I wouldn't say it was causing a scene, but my best friend was like taking photos of me kind of in a weird place in the middle of this town and kind of setting up a little situation. And this woman comes up and she was like, I got into stoicism because of you, like I read your books. And that was cool, especially when you're in the remote places in the world and people say that. So it definitely does happen. And that's why even when, I don't know, it can get difficult with misrepresentation or just absolute BS that comes up online, you remember those moments and it makes it worth it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Our very own Signal, our weather reporter, was in Mykonos. It seems like she's not there anymore. It's too bad. Maybe you guys could have gotten coffee. You know, Micah G has been following your content for quite a while. He has his hand raised. Micah, do you have a question for Marin?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've followed Marin basically just like letting her decide the trades because I'm such a horrible coin trader, or rather, I guess, letting the stars decide the trades. But I was kind of curious on like, because you said you were into astrology and then you sort of got more into coins and stuff like that. So was that something where you just accidentally discovered that you felt there was a connection between the price and the moons, for example? Or was that something where you like basically were like, hey, this is a good day for my sign. Let me just buy some Bitcoin. I'm feeling lucky. Or was it a situation where you were like, I like astrology. Let me start trying to map and see if there's a connection between coin prices and the market. Like,
yeah. So financial astrology has been an arm of astrology for thousands of years. And personality astrology is just one branch of tracking the correlation between planetary cycles and other events. So there's a lot of literature and a lot of data around world events, including financial events, market cycles, political cycles, anything like that in astrology. So by no means am I the first person to look at this. I did find it pretty organically because I was never interested in finance until I needed to be in a way. I didn't grow up being taught about it or have any idea that I would find it like a big interest in it. So as soon as I realized that I was interested in finance, I immediately was like, I need to start doing financial astrology, like it combines both. And if you understand the basic ontology, basic data set of what you're looking at in astrology, you can apply it to any chart, whether that is an asset, a business, a person, a family, anything that has an initiation or a birth date, you can look at the trajectory of that. So if you're looking at an asset, that can be Bitcoin's chart. If you're looking at a person's life, it's when they were born. So as soon as I realized I had the two passions that were kind of combined, and I like the fact in that if I'm looking at a person's chart, if I see something horrendous, you can get in a lawsuit. If I'm just like, this looks fucking terrible, like, sorry, man. But if you look at like financial market, you can be like, this is a good time to short and everyone's happy that it looks atrocious. So that's how I fell into getting those steps.
Epic response, Marin. So look, our very own Easy Eats Bodega, the Sultan of Solana, you know, the head of the Solana vertical at the Nifty, is the person that was able to set this up. You and him were pinging back and forth on Twitter, and he was able to get you to come on the show. So I got to throw to Easy here. Easy, what are your thoughts for Marin?
No, it's great to virtually meet you here. I know I've had some choice words when the moon cycle does not go as exactly as I was hoping for. But I guess my question here is, like, how long have you been doing this? Like, what, I guess, has really led to this? And aside from that, you mentioned people have said they've bought NFTs based on things that they felt you've said. I know it's never financial advice, but do you hold certain NFTs? Are you still actively trading those? Or is everything just based on crypto and coins specifically?
Yeah, I'll answer that last part first because it's simpler. I'm not in it for the art, like NFT technology school. I really don't, just like I grew up with, my dad is kind of a like amateur art collector. Like our house was just overflowing with weird ass art shit all the time and I never cared. Like I literally couldn't care less. Took me to museums, just wanted to leave basically. So similarly with like NFTs, I can get into, there was a time when during peak euphoria I was into trading them or trying to get in early into collections. So anything I hold is really a byproduct of forgetting to sell them or just them ending up in my wallet somehow. They're all like, I just have a ton of graveyard NFTs. There's no collection that I feel like I got in earlier grade on. I mean, actually, my funny story is that like last summer, my friend sold me 17 crypto dick butts for one ETH because he just needed to offload them. And I was like, whatever, one ETH, I'll buy them all. And I sold all 17 crypto dick butts for two ETH each to pay for the down payment on my property that morning when I needed it. So I was like on CNBC that night as soon as I posted about it because that was kind of surreal. Like, I didn't think I would do anything with them. I actually used those as an example of what graveyard NFTs were. And then all of a sudden, a week later, I'm getting bids for 2 ETH each. And I needed, like, capital immediately, like, crypto payment for this place. And I was like, okay, I'll just sell them all. Like, this is undeniably a good move. So besides that, I don't really think I've had any big NFT moments. I was in the hospital, so I accidentally accepted an offer on my honorary Bored Ape. So, like, honestly, I'm just an incredible top signal, like, nod to the actual art thing of this. Got extremely rugged by the absolute top of Soul Bears, tried to sweep the rares, which was the worst use of my capital I've ever probably done. But I don't hold any that I'm, like, really excited about. That could change. Like, maybe that'll change. And then I guess your first part, like, what led to this? Just lifelong, really big interest in studying astrology, which is a byproduct of, like, the architecture of reality and questioning that and seeing cycles and patterns and being not intuitive or not psychic about it, but just really interested in tracking the patterns. And then realizing that that same pattern recognition translates really well into candlestick charts and the symbolism there. I'm not someone that claims any authority in fundamentals or, like, big macro expertise. No, I just look at candles and charts, and it's very similar to tracking planets and angles and patterns of that.
No, that was awesome, Pio. Sorry, one more question here.
Of course.
You talk about trading candlestick charts, etc. What is normally your trading timeline? Is it shorter time frames, larger time frames? Are you looking weekly, monthly?
Yeah. So certain cycles are more daily to weekly. Like, the moon changes signs every 2.5 days. So the reason that people can meme the moon is because I speak about it a lot, because it changes signs every 2.5 days, meaning that there's just more moves that can be made on a short term based on it. So something like Pluto, for example, takes around 250 years to look at the zodiac, meaning that any of its angles it's making to other planets can last decades and can be more in the background. So there's both trades that are more daily, more weekly, and then more monthly, and I'm overlaying them so that I'm usually making daily trades within the macro context where I'm on a more long-term level.
And Kix has his hand raised, so I know he's probably got a technical trading question for you. I also have some questions about, you know, considering you're so young and so successful already, you know, what the future really looks like for Marin. And I have to imagine, given your astrology, you can probably make some predictions on that. But quickly, I wanted to know, so, you know, me and Nick, we're co-hosts, we're business partners. I'm an Aries, he's a Pisces. From your perspective as an astrology expert, is that a good combination, or are we just destined to crash and burn?
So to give a really good answer, I would have to see your entire charts, because we have every planet in our charts, not just the sun and the moon, for example, but they're next to each other. So Pisces is right next to Aries in the zodiac, meaning that there's no inherent strong dislike or struggle like signs that are next to each other. In the geometry understanding, they don't see each other. There's no angle, so there's little energy either way. So there's probably other things in your charts together that lead you to work well together. I would say that that placement alone, not really a big commentary on it, but that Pisces will be more intuitive and more creative, and Aries will be more aggressive and assertive.
Okay.
What? Okay, there we go. More creative. You heard it here first. Pio, I'm taking over.
I mean, for sure. Kix, what question do you have for Marin? I'm curious.
Well, I don't need to ask her how a Sagittarius plays with you all, because it's obviously the team leader, the glue between the two of you. So I already know all of that. But I read a famous quote from J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan said, millionaires don't need to understand astrology. Billionaires do. And I currently own over a billion of SHIB, over a billion SHIB coins. So I consider myself in that category. So, Marin, I'm looking at the next couple of weeks, and it feels like we're kind of like at a crossroads in the market from, like, a technical standpoint, meaning that, like, you know, a lot of people that were bearish 2 weeks ago, like, seem to be getting bullish now. And when you look at all of the charts, we've done some pretty big retracements, like, to the upside. And I feel like we're at a crossroads right now where, you know, there's a chance that everything kind of improves and we keep ripping up, or there's a chance that this is where we get a pretty decent correction from here. I know there's a full moon on the horizon, so I was just curious if we could get a little bit of your insight over the next week or two. Obviously, this isn't 100%, you know, guarantee, but I do really respect your analysis. So I'd be really curious how you're approaching this full moon ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, we do have a full moon on the 11th, and generally we dump into and pump out of full moons. So I'm cautious for the next 2 days, essentially. I'm not looking for anything major dump-wise. There's nothing astrologically where I'm like, oh, yikes. So I do, and I say this is something that actually I short better than I long. So if I could choose, I'd rather have market dump in than have to execute that better. But it does look like from the 11th until about the 28th, we do have some upside potential. And I would I will be longing from the 11th onward. So the short term, it does look decent. I think it sounds like, I mean, your awareness of the way you spoke about it. But in the macro context, it's not like road to 100K or anything. Like, we have local tops, local bottoms, and we're kind of going sideways for now. I think that on a little bit longer horizon, it should be decently up until end of October, early November, when it looks really atrocious around the U.S. midterm elections as well during that time. So I think just socially and economically could be a time of severely nearing one another. So, I mean, the next 2 weeks, more to the upside, then probably more to the downside early September, and then more severe downside late October.
That's what I'm talking about. We got a little run left. Let's go!
Kick's got his market prediction. He got his question answered. So, you know, Maren, like I said, you're so young, you're so successful. You've built this massive social media following. You have this business. And if I'm correct, I think I saw you post you're about to turn 24, right? So not even 25 years old yet. What does the future look like for Maren? Like, what's the next 5 years? What do you aspire to accomplish? Because I have to imagine you have some pretty big plans.
Yeah, it is very strange to be turning 24 on the 24th. I still feel like a child in many ways. So it's very weird to see. And actually, while on this call, I see that my Airbnb has canceled on me when I was like, yeah, I'm hosting a 24-hour birthday party in this unit. Is that okay? And they just immediately canceled. So it's fine. I'll handle it. My trajectory, I like to joke around and say that I want a Wikipedia page taller than me because I'm kind of short. I'm like 5'3.75. So ideally, I want to build companies under the Asterisk umbrella that use astrological data and show the correlation in a way that leads people to question the nature of reality and maybe even take us to interact with space somehow, because it's always fascinated me. I grew up being a really young person, like a little girl, always wanted to go to the planetarium and learn about space. And now that's translated into, my dad is like a Jew interested in space. Naturally, I would be a financial astrologer. It's like, okay, dad, sure. I want to build products that lead people to both have fun and I don't want to say profit because I don't want the SEC coming after me, but lead people to interact with the market based on astrology in a way that does lead them to question reality and bring finance to people that may have otherwise not had an entry, because there's a lot of euphemisms and a lot of buzzwords that keep people that are just like me, the common person, out of it, that I would have never entered without people explaining basic concepts to me that don't need all these big words. It's basically just energy being transmitted and converted, and that's all how the markets are. So I want to build many products, many companies, many things that lead people to question how that energy translates from one place to the next, and probably makes that easier. I have a lot of issues with the way that payment rails block people in different countries. That's something non-astrology related that I would want to work on. So mining those into hopefully a Wikipedia page taller than me, and maybe in 5 years that'll happen.
No surprise, Maren has some big plans. Watch out if you're an entrepreneur in the astrology space. Look, I'm going to throw, and first of all, Maren, we really appreciate you spending this time with
Thank
us.
Thank you. Yeah.
This is awesome. If we can just ask a few more questions. We got Micah with his hand raised. Awesome. I want to throw to him, and then I have a couple more questions. Micah, go ahead.
Yeah, so kind of piggybacking off of what you were just talking about, like different companies or different ventures that relate to astrology. So I know that you talk about like capital markets is like the main one that you're looking at, like correlations between the moon and capital markets. But it does feel like when we talk about the difference between coins and NFTs that like, there's a totally different attitude where just some days people will want to buy NFTs, or they'll just like, everyone just sort of gets into a frenzied mood of like, I want to buy an NFT today. And whatever free mint comes out that day suddenly moons. Like, have you started to look at those other areas and be like, is there something with NFTs or with housing or like just other different markets and say like, you know, directions or correlations between astrology that isn't just charts or coins? Idea?
Yeah, so if I'm going to look at something like the housing market, for example, I would look at the United States chart, its birth chart, and there are areas of the chart where, whether it's for a country or a human being, refer to home, property, living situation. So for a country that would be more of the housing market, and we can look at that, and there are time periods where that's really relevant. For something like the NFT market, I would be looking at the general astrology, for example, what's happening today, and are there positive alignments between planets that do indicate art, more spending, like Venus and Jupiter are the two planets that in a market context are bullish and a person's life are favorable. So I'd say, okay, if there's really great aspects between Venus and Jupiter, that's probably going to be a good day for all things spending, having fun, probably the NFT market as a result. So you definitely can do that. I often just throw out the word capital markets because I'm really into numbers and charts and things like that. So I've not really done a deep dive into housing market back staying or NFT market over its like short lifespan, but you absolutely can look at that.
Yeah, it's just on that. I was just gonna say it's fascinating. Is I feel like I've seen the mood. Like I've seen that there's been days where there's the mood, but I've never said like is that related to specific cycles or signs.
There you go. So a little answer for Micah. Nick, do you have a question for Maren?
I got two questions. The first is, I know you'd mentioned your NFT trading experience, but I'm curious if you've taken a chance at all to like look into like mint launch days sort of things, and whether or not you ever advise people on sort of like the day that they should launch their project.
Yeah, that's called electional astrology. So you're electing an optimal date and time for something. And it's something that inherently, if you're looking at astrology, you kind of end up doing. You're like, okay, do I send this email? Looks a chart? Absolutely not. Like, wait an hour or something like that. So I do actually, like, for friends or I don't really let people hire me for this. I'm like, I don't really want to do this that seriously for people ongoing. But for friends or just people that I work with who are like, yo, is it a good time for this? Can you give me a date? I'm like, sure, do this at this date and time. Wait 2 weeks because right now there's this going on and you don't want to launch anything. So yeah, definitely. And it's pretty basic. You're just looking for you're looking for good astrology, trying to pick the time when that's most focused in the chart and using that.
I also noticed a tweet about a New York City dinner or something like that. And I was wondering if the forecast bodes well for PO and myself.
So yeah, for my 24th birthday, I was like, I'm going to go back and forth. I'm like, I'm not going to do anything. No one's like, I'm not going to do this. But then I thought about it. I was like, fuck it. You're turning 24 on the 24th. Host a place for 24 hours and just bring people that you trust in life and do something cool. And then I realized that someone that works for me is very well connected with some DJs that I admire like a lot. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. This could work out. So like I said, funny enough, during this spaces, I got a notification that my Airbnb host canceled me because they're like, this is a residential building. You're absolutely not doing that here. But there's another backup place that is probably better, actually, that we'll probably be doing something at. And yeah, DM me. Could have you all there.
There we go.
Wow. Oh, my God. We might be invited. That'd be very cool, Maren. That'd be so awesome. And it would be very cool.
Okay, PO just got uninvited.
Yeah, she said people she trusts and likes. So...
I'm just having fun. So Maren, one thing I want to ask is I see you tweeting about how you frame trading and you frame it like an act of war almost, or at least that's how I interpreted the stuff that you were talking about. And I totally understand that because it is like person versus person and analyst versus analyst. Is there any like media, whether it's books, films, historical examples that have made any big impact on you? Like I think of things like the 48 Laws of Power, The Art of War, is a very well-known book that a lot of people reference for situations like this, you know, Mastery by Robert Greene. Are there any kind of pieces of media that have helped inform your mindset when it comes to trading?
Yeah, Art of War, as cliche as it is, was one of the most life-changing things I've ever read. And it's very, I find it to be a very easy read, so it's pretty simple to go back to. As well, Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, even though it's a focus on Stoicism, it does bring in a ton of battle terms. And before I even knew that what I was studying could be better articulated as battle or combat, like Stoicism has been a really, really big part of my life. I have some things tattooed on me just in reference to it. And I think that war and battle is one and the same, at least if you're going to do it successfully. So Art of War and Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, some of Seneca's writings are amazing as well. Those have really helped me, as well as generally studying war and combat and those that have led it and what's been successful and what hasn't. And similar to training, it's usually about minimizing losses and minimizing harm more than trying to do something egregious and very risky.
Awesome. Well, you know, we really, really appreciate you coming today. Any closing thoughts you'd like to share with the audience? Anything that, you know, anybody should know about Maren Altman or about your business?
I'd say that there's really exciting big things coming with S Race that should be out in the next few months, over the course of the next few years, that'll let, whether it's the average person or the investor or someone that isn't even involved in the market but wants to use astrology to bring that into Web3 and have that data available to everyone in a really fun way that has very excitedly taken me offline a lot during the past few months that I've been really okay with. So I should have a lot more to show, and there's been a reason that I've been a little bit quieter, but a lot's been going on, even though I'm like sitting here in Mykonos hiding from the wind, basically hard at work. And I am always very, very like endlessly appreciative for the reason that I can do this and the people that I learn from every day by reading my replies or comments. So I'm always here looking at planets to hopefully share with you all.
Wow, Maren reads comments. Wow. I mean, look, Maren, I barely am able to read comments. I just get affected. So you must have a mind of steel to be able to see what the commenters are saying.
Yeah, you get bulletproof. You just, yeah, at some point you either go offline or you literally are just like, oh, fan fiction. How funny.
Awesome. So epic. So ladies and gentlemen, Maren Altman, your personal poet for the stars. Follow her on TikTok. Check out her business, Astrace. Thank you so much for joining
us. Wait, hold
on.
Hold on. We're just rapping like that. We should have like a reading or something like that. I don't know if you have that. if you have that insight, we should throw out some date or something. I have no idea.
Maren, would you be game for one reading? Is that possible?
Reading of what exactly?
I mean, we don't know.
That's a good question.
What information do you need? I can give you my birthday, the second I was born.
Social. Easy. We need the social. She needs your social. And
yeah,
I think Nick just wants to hear you keep talking. So you could literally read from a book.
Yeah. If I'm going to look at someone's chart, it's going to be a long discussion. So probably not today.
No worries at all. Thank you again so much for joining. Everyone check out Maren. And this was an absolute jam. And
the rejection cuts deep, guys.
Hope we can do something like this again.
Definitely. Maybe see you all in New York in a few weeks.
Oh, wow. So cool. All right. Absolutely. Sounds great. Yeah, Easy will be there. Ladies and gentlemen, Maren Altman. Wow. What a jam.
Pio sounds like almost inappropriately excited right now.
Oh,
I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You doing all right? Are you like convulsing over there? What the?
I'm doing okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. EST. Some days we have kick-ass guests like Maren Altman today. The show's all about market and trade talk. As usual, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. And yeah, we're going to get right back into it. So when we look at the top projects on OpenSea right now, there's one clear-cut winner that we've been talking about a little bit on and off. This winner just will not go away, and that's Rare Upepe or Apepe Yacht Club, which people were writing off as a derivative, but that derivative is standing strong at 0.68 Ethereum and is the number one project on OpenSea in terms of 24-hour volume. My man Franelations has DM'd me about it like 20 times. I just keep fading it, and it's just proven to be a world of hurt for me. Does anybody on stage have exposure to this thing? Anybody buy into this? No.
No. Next subject.
Well, we're wishing that we did, right? We're wishing that we did.
Are we? I saw you mint some Pepes the other day. I got an alert on that. What's the deal with that? Or you were just transitioning yours over?
Yeah, I was because with Rare Pepes, there are limited windows of liquidity. And I know this because at this point, I've actually been holding them for almost a calendar year, which is insane to think about how fast time has flown by. But yeah, so basically what I was doing is I was vaulting, is the term that you would use. I was vaulting my rare Pepes, because rare Pepes are natively built on Bitcoin, specifically Counterparty, which is a chain that's built on Bitcoin that's very archaic. And in my opinion, it's unrealistic that XCP, which is what Counterparty is, will continue to exist for the long term. And so I was vaulting them to put them on Ethereum, and I listed them all on Ethereum. I don't expect them to sell. But I do have a couple of series one in there that, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they get attention. One rare Pepe did sell over the weekend. I was so surprised. It was my Pepe pool, which is a Deadpool reference rare Pepe. Nick, you raised your hand. What's going on?
There was one thing while I was looking into the volume there. If you go on OpenSea, there's a project that literally is just them wash trading to try and trap someone into spending 20 ETH on an NFT called Piggy Figgy. If you look at it, there's six owners. This is literally one of the volume projects right now, which is the only reason I'm bringing this up. Somehow in the top, it's number five right now. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And there's six owners with 100 items, all priced at 20 ETH. And basically them just trading between from one wallet to the next. How the hell is this like allowed? This has been happening over 3 months. They've been fake trading from one wallet to another wallet, and now suddenly it shows up. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta love the NFT space, huh? Like literally, some jackasses just trying to do anything they can to scam someone.
Piggy Figgy, don't buy that one.
Don't buy that one. That's for sure. There's 830 Ethereum of wash trading happening. I mean, look at this shit. What the, like, are you serious with this activity? Like, look at the activity, Nick. Look at the wallets.
No, I know. I understand. Anyways, it's weird. I haven't seen something so blatantly obvious. Like, it's this sort of stuff has to be happening. This was something we discussed, actually, with a bunch of different, with the NFT space as a whole. It's ripe for just manipulation. I mean, if you can afford trade, well, you don't even need to afford it. As long as you have ETH, you could trade it between wallets, generate volume, and get a project up on the leaderboard. That's pretty pretty nuts. But anyways, yeah. And I don't know. I don't have anything to add to your Rara Pepe. They were trending, but they were much higher before in terms of price. They keep ranging. I think they went down. Maybe someone here knows. I saw them down at like 0.3 yesterday.
Yeah, they were 0.24 yesterday, and they've gone higher than this. I thought this was the all-time high.
It is the all-time. Well, actually, huh? I thought it had gone higher before, but maybe I'm completely wrong. Anywho, yeah, they're taking off right now. I've seen a lot of people memeing with them on Twitter. It just feels like something though. Like you're not going to end up. This isn't going to be sustainable. Like I feel like you're not going to end up with like. Maybe, I mean, there is a community around it, but it seems weird. Like, what's an example of one derivative project that we've actually seen sustain in any meaningful way?
Well, Croax should have been that project. I think that Croax is an apt comparison here to some capacity. It's not a double derivative. But the thing is, like, if you ask Fran, for example, he's like, I think it's disrespectful to call this a derivative. And I understand where he's coming from, right? Because it's like the Pepe artist, and it's kind of like it's inspired by and it's paying homage to Bored Ape Yacht Club, but it's not, you know, it's not. Yeah.
Go ahead. Theo, I completely agree with you, because I think in my mind, a derivative is like 80% plus similar in terms of like the art style, right? You know what I mean? It's like usually like a derivative is like I think about the double derivative that was like Bored Ape and Wicked Cranium. You know what I mean? They looked exactly like Bored Ape Yacht Club with like it was a good derivative, but like this looks like just like a net new art style to me. So I definitely think that you can say it's like inspired from, but I would put this in like the classic derivative category. It does feel very unique.
Yeah, we should have bought it. Holy shit. Eddie's on stage. Eddie's a member of the 333 Club with Zeneca, and he is a moonbird. What is going on, Eddie?
Yeah, man, what's up? So, like, if we're talking about what level of derivative this is, I kind of like to compare. So, like, OK Bears for me is the perfect derivative of, like, how to copy Bored Ape but make something entirely different. This feels not like, this feels like it's a derivative more so leaning towards Bored Ape, whereas OK Bears for me would be a derivative that leans further away. Like, this feels way, even though it is a new art style, the overall feel of what's going on here, especially like if you go to their Twitter and you look at their Twitter banner and it's just like their version of a yacht club in a swamp, it feels way too similar for me to like consider this as distinct, like I would consider other derivatives.
Yeah, I mean, great thoughts. That's my position on it. Your hand raised. Maybe.
Well, that was an accident. My apologies. I don't know. Maybe that was from earlier. I've just been sitting here with my hand raised.
Yeah, no worries.
And my arm's tired.
Easy. You raised your hand for a minute. Was there something you wanted to add on?
It was just on the OK Bears comment. Like, sure. I do agree with what Eddie's saying here. I think the Bears take that inspiration into the art. It's very clear that it's similar style, etc., that plays into it. But like, this still feels a lot more derivative-esque, you know? So it's like, the tough part is in this market with such low liquidity and volume that you tail those types of plays. And sadly, what usually happens with derivatives is they go immediately to zero. This one's putting up a good fight, but I think longer term, that's kind of its path forward.
All right, Easy. You guys just heard the hot take from Easy. He said directly, rare Pepes to zero. Easy, do you how many DMs do you expect to get after the show on this?
Hopefully 20. I need something to entertain myself for the day.
There was another banger in the Nifty Portal Discord, specifically the 8 Aliens NFT, so the number 8 and then replacing the A in Aliens. I know a lot of people sold it too early, and it's at a quarter ETH floor right now, 5,000-piece collection, 1,600 unique owners, 521 Ethereum of volume traded. They are 8-bit pixelated aliens that are animated. And it looks like they're actually pre-reveal right now, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It's amazing to me that over and over again, we see more wins in the NFT market, even though it is a quote-unquote bear market right now, compared to the peak bull season. But people are still, you know, getting it done. People are still winning. Eddie, you have your hand raised. Any thoughts on eight aliens or eight liens? And if not, what are you looking to contribute?
Yeah, for the eight liens, it's just funny because this, like, I was very, very involved in the Magic minting everything meta that went on maybe like 5-6 months ago. And there was a time, so these used to be called like Smolians, because there was just so many derivatives that came out of the small brains at the time, which, if you're not aware, small brains, they're like the blue chip of the Magic and Arbitrum ecosystem. And it was funny because these used to be called the Smolians until there was some huge FUD, like literally 5-6 months ago, where they were worried that the founders were just like scamming or lying about their position within the Arbitrum ecosystem. And I completely fell off. And now just, it's funny because now I'm looking today and I'm seeing some of these alien PFPs and I'm like, 6 months ago, I would have laughed like crazy, but apparently they're performing well today. So it's crazy how people just totally don't know the original story here.
Well, look at that. A little backstory from Eddie on the project right there. If you are an owner of Aliens, you probably want to listen to that signal. You have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, just on the Aliens as well. What's interesting is that there's no creator earnings for this particular collection, and instead the founders took 10% of the supply and kept it for themselves. And wouldn't be surprised if this is a model that we see going forward. And on top of that, that there's more volume coming from this collection and it will just be continuously traded simply because we don't have the creator earnings. And then the platform earnings you can reduce if you go to over across and trade this from X2, Y2 or on Looks Rare.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's something to think about too. That's a new model. And that's not something that you see every day. Node, I always love to hear from Node, the new host of the podcast, Node Mode, coming out. What's on your mind, Node?
Yeah, just talking about, you know, what Signal mentioned. I think it's an interesting kind of dynamic with launching a collection that is totally mint-free, no royalties, and you just hold back some supply for yourselves. It does create some interesting dynamics for the founders, though, right? Like, on the one hand, I think it's very interesting and unique way to do it. On the other, it kind of gives them an easy path to just walk away, right? And say like, oh yeah, this wasn't a rug because we gave everything for free, right? So I think it is interesting. I'm curious to see how that kind of plays out. I'll also just mention, I am currently reading, I didn't get a chance to say this to Marin, but I am reading right now Meditations by Marcus. So I think that's a good sign. And I will say, I highly recommend that book as well. So you've got the stamp of approval from Node and from Marin, two very different ends of the spectrum here on that single book. So a shout out to there. And then I'll finally say that shout out to Eddie. What I did yesterday or the day before, I sold my crypto, one of my crypto dick butts, and I swept 10 Zen Academies. So I'm bullish on that ecosystem as well. So that was my play of the week.
Wow, what a trade. I also have exposure to Zen Academy. And yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see what comes of that. Micah, you have your hand raised. Then I want to throw to some of these new speakers that haven't been on the show before. Micah, go ahead.
Okay, so yesterday I saw a tweet from Super Yetis, and it's some sort of like game they're building. And then I looked at the floor price, and yeah, they're at 0.14. So I'm kind of curious, do we think we're maybe going into a like NFT archaeology season? You know, you have Crypto Dick Butts. You have these other projects that have been like maybe there for a while. So I don't know, like Alien Boy or some other like random ones from a year ago. Like, do you think there's a potential for a trade there?
Well, let me tell you, Super Yeti is sponsoring Thursday's show. So you're going to hear directly from the gang over at Super Yeti about what they're cooking up. And I mean, from what I can tell from my prep conversation that I had with them before the sponsored spot, it sounds like they're doing stuff. So, you know, it's been over a year since the drop, and what a moment in time in the NFT space that was. It's going to be fascinating to hear about them on Thursday. I don't have a comment on whether I think, you know, price goes down. Price has already gone up because it's a 0.14 ETH floor. And they also have a companion collection that was a free claim called Snow Demons. Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, remember, I forget who was the guest that came on the stage, but we were discussing, they brought up Super Yeti when it was at like 0.01, 0.02, 0.03, however low it went there.
I think it was NFT Sniper Bot.
No. It was
lady.
A female.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Melissa. She came on the show. This was last year now, I think, probably like November time. She wrote and told everyone like how hard that team has been working and how they have been continuously putting out content and ideas to their community.
She's had multiple calls, actually. I think there was another one that we bought into with her, with the one of the female-led projects. I'm blanking on the name of it. There's been a bunch of them. Crypto. Is it Crypto Chicks? No, I don't.
Badass Beauties or something? Boss Beauties?
No. Badass Beauties. No. no, I don't think it was that. It was, but whatever it was, it did well, and she's had a few good calls. So yeah, she's one to pay attention to, and she was spot on with Super Yeti at this point in time. Basically, you could have made 10x if you just listened to her call on that so far. I mean, I don't know where this goes, and I don't know what the we'll find out. You said that's Friday that they're coming on?
Thursday.
So there we go.
Yeah, we're going to find out. So we have a couple new speakers on stage. We love getting new speakers in the mix. Reminder that, you know, it's an NFT. I'm going to throw it up first. It says in your bio, Madison, that you like nice people, NFTs, and you like Bears Deluxe, Gutter Cat Gang, and Bored Ape Yacht Club. I wonder if you own all those collections, because that's a pretty diesel NFT collection if you do. You have your hand raised. What's on your mind, Madison?
Hi, GM, everyone. Thank you, Pio, Nick, for having me on. No, I wish I owned the Bored Ape Yacht Club and Cat Gang, but I just have a lot of love for those two communities. And then Bears Deluxe is probably my favorite NFT that I have. But I just wanted to touch on the Super Yeti. I played this metaverse game the other day. It was like JPEG Land, and the Super Yeti was like featured in it. So I think they have like a lot of things coming. I think like they have their own metaverse or something, like game coming out too. So, and then also I wanted to touch on the rare Pepe. So I am like in math pain. I sold both of mine, but I just think they were cool. I didn't really look at them as a derivative, but I know that the original artist is, I think, or the artist of it is like the original one for the rare Pepes, or the
one of the originals. Yeah, she did Pepe Lisa, I believe.
Oh, okay, gotcha. And then like I think the founders, one of them is like does the, and then they have some kind of coffin thing too, where it like I guess will raffle off something for the holders. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, I sold both of mine. So like at 0.17, so I'm definitely coping from that.
you know, sometimes that's how it goes down. You know, NFT space, you sold too early. How long have you been in the NFT space, Madison?
For a little bit over a year. Yeah.
Been around the block. Did you buy a Bears Deluxe at like 0.01 ETH and ride it up to its all-time high?
So something like that. Like someone actually gave me, like I took profit on World of Women and posted about it and was like, people are like, thank you for like sharing about not like, profit shaming and all that stuff. So someone gave me an NFT and I was like, oh, is it another World of Women? And then it was this like pixelated bear and I was like, what is this? And so I just held on to it and then like just started getting into the community and I was like, oh, okay. I wrote it to like 4 ETH and held on and here we are. So yeah, I have a lot of love for them.
Very cool, Madison. Well, thank you for joining. We have another new speaker. We have Dorian Faster.eth. Dorian, it says that you have a bachelor's in accounting. That's not a flex that every NFT person puts in their profile, but interesting enough, you own Psychedelics Anonymous. We're actually going to have Voltura on the show tomorrow morning, so that's really exciting. And it looks like you are a national champion lacrosse player. So we got an athlete on stage. You have your hand raised. What's going on, Dorian?
I appreciate the intro. Super excited about Voltura tomorrow, too. My question for you guys was, I'm super interested in the Adidas NFT. I noticed the floor has dropped pretty significantly over the last couple months, and I was wondering if anybody has any alpha on what's going on with Adidas and what they're doing with that project.
What does everyone think about Adidas? It's taken a long time to ship a jumpsuit. Right? Am I wrong?
Yeah. Where is mine? And like, I'm gonna actually wear it. You're gonna see me rolling around NYC, just like in the streets, and people are gonna be like, "Who the hell is that dude?" And it's gonna be me wearing a tracksuit.
A green tracksuit.
I'm gonna get a chain.
That was the big thing. Those things had a 2 Ethereum floor with Ethereum at like $3,500. It was a $7,000 NFT, and all we know is that you get a tracksuit. Interesting stuff, huh? I mean, Quad raised his hand. I'm assuming Quad has a comment on this. Quad, do you have a tracksuit coming in the mail? You got tracking on that yet?
Man, I actually just got tracking yesterday on my tracksuits. I'm not as bullish on them as I used to be. And one of the reasons I'm not as bullish on them as I used to be is they're using a third party to handle the essentially the fulfillment and the manufacturing of these items. And I just think it's crazy that like Adidas, we're not getting their A team. They're literally contracting it out to somebody else to like handle this whole physical drop of merch, which is what they do as a company. And so when I found out about that, you know, they kind of blamed all of the issues, kind of like pushed it to that. I definitely lost a lot of my bullishness. I still hold one. I used to hold a lot more and sold those a while back. But yeah, I don't think that it's completely dead in the water because they could come out tomorrow and do something crazy, right? And they are connected with some people in Web3 very well. So it could be a speculative play. But yeah, I'm not as like, you know, rah-rah Adidas as I used to be.
Rah-rah Adidas. Hard to be rah-rah Adidas when all that you're going to get is a green tracksuit that they can't seem to make. Node, your hand's raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, similar. I to be totally transparent, I've been trying to dump mine, my NFT for the last 2 weeks, and I keep lowering the price, and it keeps dropping faster than I can sell it. and similar mentality. Like, I don't know, everybody's talked about, you know, supply chain issues and whatnot. I've worked with physical products for a long time. I still have physical products that I sell online. And like, if you haven't been able to figure out supply chain after the last, you know, 3 years, I know it's been madness, but it's not that bad. You know, like, you can figure it out and get something shipped out. So I'm trying to dump it. And then I also look at it and say, okay, what, you know, if I'm going to put Nike and Adidas head to head against each other, I'm going to go Nike. Right. And so I still have hope that maybe they'll do something, but it's been, I mean, what has it been, a year since they came out with something? And then all they did was say, hey, here's another pass that you can get so far. So yeah, not overly optimistic, but I want to hear what Eddie has to say, because I think he may actually have something positive.
Eddie, and then we'll throw in Nick.
I do. So I'm going to play devil's advocate for a sec here. I actually recently put them on my watch list as something to consider buying kind of soon, in part because, like, okay, ultimately, yes, the tracksuit handling has been definitely subpar. But again, if you consider who they partnered with, like, Pixel Vault has delivered consistently. G-Money has delivered consistently. And now, like, we know for a fact that there's a PFP coming, right? Like, they have stated that there is a PFP coming, unless if I missed, like, a cancellation announcement or something like that. And if you're going to tell me that there's an Adidas profile picture and you're going to compare that against Clone X, I mean, I would assume that it's going to be at least like a tenth of the price, maybe a fifth of the price of a Clone X PFP, which that would lead it to be probably around like two ETH or so. So just like on a just undervaluation standpoint, it feels undervalued. You know, I get the concerns that we might not be getting Adidas's A team. That's very fair. But there's enough catalysts coming, or at least supposedly coming, to this collection that I think it's worth at least putting on a watch list and considering putting out some buys at like half an ETH or so.
Fair. I don't know. I think I'm on the other side of that. Nifty Nick.
I just wanted to say the way that Node was referring to Adidas, as they're properly called, is though, like, yeah, you know, I understand that they're being a little struggle to delivering clothes. This is Adidas, or Adidas as we call it in America. This is their only fucking thing. Like, I don't understand. How would those tracksuits not be delivered within like 3 days? Like, that just seems completely improbable to me. Who's fucking up in this sequence? Like, I don't understand. Did someone like make the design and on a completely unrelated team and was like, yeah, we can get these printed, but they didn't like coordinate with the like team, or sorry, the 90% of the business that's focused on actual production of clothing items at Adidas? Or was it like someone else who just like misrepresented the fact that they were doing it at all? I don't understand where the hell is my damn hoodie?
They outsourced. Well, that was their excuse, was they outsourced all of it to a third party, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it, right? Like, they literally make clothes and they ship clothes, and they didn't make these clothes or ship these clothes.
Yeah, wow. Yeah,
I don't understand. I saw someone take a photo with the, with maybe, I guess was, is it a hoodie or just a tracksuit? Because someone showed me the one with like the G Money. It felt like the thing from one of the designs from Adidas. Maybe I'm completely wrong.
There's a hoodie, there's a tracksuit, and you get a beanie.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
It's an orange beanie. Yeah. I actually got a notification that my hoodie is coming, but not my tracksuit or my beanie yet. So they're starting to ship half of the items.
Maybe I should check my email to look to see if I got anything from, did that come from Adidas? I got notification of a partial shipment 1 week ago. So yeah, it's the hoodie. And so we'll see if this actually shows up.
What are you going to do when you get it? Like, I don't get it. How much is this thing like worth? I don't really understand.
What do you mean?
Like,
what I use my hoodies for, POs, I usually use it as a cooking ingredient inside of key recipes as I'm cooking food. So that's usually what I do with the hoodies that end up being delivered to my click tracking on the email. It gives you to a site. It gives you to their website where it says /merch, and then you click the link on there and it just brings you to into the metaverse. So apparently it's shipped, but you can't even track it, and I have no idea where it's being delivered. So there we go.
Yeah, I don't know. Signal raised her hand. Then I just let Sam Pod on stage, who has his hand raised. He might have a comment on this. Signal, what's going on?
No, I was going to say on Adidas that I can see why they would have outsourced it to a third party with all the logistic problems that mostly. So I think it was a good idea. It was a good idea for them to outsource it because obviously their main collections are taking up the logistics cover. They've obviously forecasted that for the next probably 2 years. These are the collections that are coming out, and because it's a smaller supply, they outsource it to somebody else. That company obviously has screwed up, so this is why they have these logistic problems. However, I'm on Eddie's side that there's going to be the PFP will be the catalyst event. This is probably going to sell off until probably September, October time, and then as usual, and then that's when it's going to go up again. So buying now is probably, if you want to buy Adidas, buying now would probably be the best time because the PFP, they said it in their AMA within their Discord that this is coming out around November, December.
Okay, so maybe there's a good NFT thing that comes out of this, right? Who knows? I mean, if I'm going to bet on NFT stuff, I'd bet on Zen Academy, for example, and because he has a PFP coming out long before I'd bet on Adidas to drop an effective PFP. Real quick, and I know, Nick, you wanted to say something. Or go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, two things. One, we also have a PFP that's coming. And then the second thing, I got some breaking news that's coming in. Breaking news. Just checked it. I just delivered or received the missing hoodie. So that's arrived at my apartment. Looking forward to trying that on and using it for cooking, as PO's aware.
That's epic. I mean, look, so I got someone tweeting at me. He goes, "You guys obviously don't know a thing about common manufacturing practices these days." I'm going to translate that for everybody. I'm holding the Adidas bag and I'm upset that you're saying anything negative about it. That's the translation, right? Common manufacturing processes these days. It takes a year to make a tracksuit. Hey,
common manufacturing process these days is you go to this website called Alibaba.com and then you just find a manufacturer and then they send you a sample 2 weeks later.
Well, here, I'll just leak this. We have a piece of merch coming out in the next, you know, month, maybe month and a half, that's in collaboration with what I view as a dope brand. And we made the design in a few weeks. It's ready to rock. The only reason it hasn't come out yet is because they want to release it seasonally. That's the only reason. There is no like holdup, right? So there's a little bit of a leak for you. Yeah. It's going to come out before the tracksuit comes out, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and by the way, that's not what the whole NFT is built around. And our NFT doesn't cost $7,000. Go ahead.
And
Nick.
There's not going to be a fucking delay on that. You can guarantee that that's going to be the case. You're going to get that hoodie soon after you have purchased it.
I didn't call it a hoodie.
Well, there you go. We're going to release it around seasonality, as PO just said. My apologies. We're releasing a hoodie. Build the beans. Run. My bad.
Bull run on the NFT.
We're launching a lingerie brand, as everybody was expecting. So that's what you're getting. Looking forward to lingerie.
Well, I'd be excited about that. Sam Pott, valued member of the Nifty Discord, Nifty Portal Whale. Sam, what's going on?
Yo. How we doing, boys and girls? You all okay?
Doing fantastic, man. How you doing?
Yeah, good. I'm gonna be honest, I wanted to chime in while you were all in the heat of the debate about Adidas, to be honest, and it's moved on slightly because
we're still on it.
Awesome, because I'm not gonna lie, I've voiced my opinion many times over the last 8 months about how they're managing this situation. But I mean, my biggest qualm with them right now is the excuse they've given for shipments not coming out was, first off, that they had issues with the different countries that they've never shipped into before, so they were having customs issues. And then now they've just dropped that they're having quality issues with the beanies. So they were meant to come out with the hoodies, but they've delayed that. So only hoodies are coming out, and they've only shipped about 10% of the hoodies so far. Now, this was the hoodies and the beanies were in Q2 this year. So I just wanted to give everyone a bit of context as to what has been going on in the background, because in my opinion, it's been an absolute shambles, mate. So.
Well, that's telling it like it is right there from Sam. Unbiased opinion, Henry's, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to comment that, like, I think the roadmap here is going to be similar to, like, the Gucci 10KTF collab, where, like, Gucci is just kind of, like, off to the side and used as a brand, but, like, the physicals are not the thing that's going to drive value to that investment. You're really waiting for the NFT brand that's involved to deliver more value. It's like 10KTF was the one really having to, like, basically carry the load in terms of cool utility for that Gucci NFT. And it felt like Gucci was just trying to, like, use you as a new customer base that's down bad, and thus will buy whatever, you know, random crappy project they put out. So I think that's the thing with the tracksuits, is, like, that's not going to be the thing that drives interest, and it's not particularly a valuable ad. But if this thing keeps dipping, I think it is a fair investment to say, like, before the NFT team delivers stuff, there could be a good play there. So I think that's the point there, is follow that same trajectory as 10KTF, which is you need the NFT native team to deliver something cool.
Yeah, NFT native being the keyword there. Eddie, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, again, like, it's a little bit worrying, of course, to see some of the failed deliverables here, or at least, you know, shaky deliverables we've seen. But look, as someone who has four pairs of Ultra Boosts that they tear through, I will literally wear my Ultra Boosts until they die. If they do anything that's shoe related, I could see them doing some really solid stuff. It's just one of those things where I feel like if you're going to target a prime, like a, you know, top brand, and look at their Genesis piece, like, this is their first thing that they've put out, I would assume that value will accrue to it, but we've seen theses like this fall flat before. So we'll see.
Fair. We got Jesse on stage, the big time NFT attorney and all around funny guy. What's going on, Jesse?
Yeah. Speaking of failed deliverables, I won the Nifty poker tournament last night, and I think I'm entitled to whatever the hottest NFT of the week was. So I'm waiting on my crypto dick butt to come to my wallet any minute. Thank you, Pio and Nick.
Jesse, where's your moon for that, kid?
What's that?
Sorry, what?
Where's your Moonbird at?
Oh no, are we still CCO or CC negative one? Where are
once, we? Once you use my CCO PFP, I own what your PFP can and cannot be from that point on. So you need to DM me next time you want to change out that PFP. Okay.
You got it. You don't. You don't also get to have sex with my wife just because I use your PFP, right?
Jesus, Jesse.
Well, look at the fine print of the CCO agreement.
Okay. All right, Jesse. shit. Well, we'll get you your prize, Jesse. I just got to tell Eric, that he's got to do the deal. Look, we got 7 minutes left in the show. When I look at the top 10 on OpenSea, I'm seeing a whole lot of Yuga Labs. I'm seeing a wash trading attempt, that project that we talked about before. And I'm seeing Moonbirds, where Kevin Rose is still trying to defend, the CCO move. He was on a Twitter space last night talking all about it too. So he's not done with that just yet. No, do you have your hand raised? Something on that or something else?
Yeah, I mean, I can always talk on Moonbirds if we want, but I was going to mention Yuga. I've just been getting more and more uncomfortable with the fact that, like, if you look at Yuga, they now have five collections, basically. If you take out Moonbirds, which actually pretty soon they might flip Moonbirds as well, but Moonbirds aside, Yuga now has five collections that are worth, their floor price is worth more than any other blue chip, right? So you've got Punks, Apes, Mutants, Codas, and Dogs that are all have a higher floor than any other, like, quote unquote blue chip PFPs, aside from Moonbirds, which are on their way down. And that's not a healthy thing for the space. Like, I'm bullish on Yuga, obviously, but, like, if it all concentrates into one place, trust me, it's not a world we want to live in. I got out of that world to get into this one.
Yeah.
But is it a world we want to live in if you own Yuga stuff?
Probably.
Sure, but the thing is you want other, you need other projects to succeed, right? Like, in order, like, I think other projects succeeding helps Yuga succeed as well. If there's just one kind of player, I don't know. I think it's worrisome.
It's totally worrisome. It's not what you want, like, at all. You want other competitors to step into the space. I mean, look, for media, like, we really want more competitors, right? Like, at the end of the day, like, it's not good when you own the whole kind of space. So you want competition. And that's, like, what Yuga Labs definitely, definitely, definitely needs. And I don't know how fast we'll see it. I think a lot of people were looking at Kevin Rose as that guy. I think the market is deciding that the Moonbirds thing was a misstep, I suppose, maybe because of the merch thing followed by the CCO thing. Having said that, the floor on a Moonbird is still 15 Ethereum, which is $25,500. So it's not like, like, we're not totally in the gutter here. And there's, you know, however many sales a day, probably at least 20 sales. Like, there were 30 sales yesterday, 10 sales the day before, 17 sales the day before. So there's liquidity on that. But yeah, we're going to need more big players to emerge. You know, Eddie, you have your hand raised. A thought on this?
Yeah, so for I've got thoughts on both Yuga and Moonbirds. As for the Moonbirds, I'll just clarify. Like, I saw it tap 13.5 in the last day. Make no mistake that this isn't suddenly everyone's like, oh, my IP rights, I need to dump because I no longer have IP rights to my Moonbird. This is like more of a loss of trust point where I've seen some Moonbirds holders get very concerned over communications from the team. And while I do understand that it is, you know, Kevin Rose comes from a startup point and the ability to act quickly is in and of itself pretty valuable. You know, this is a serious, serious thing that was just kind of thrust upon the community without any, you know, any reason for trusting that this won't happen again. So I'm still holding, I'm still fine, but you know, it is of course like a black mark. As for Yuga, I'm just curious, like, it seems pretty obvious that the next NFT that Yuga will put out to expand their collection will likely be something mecha, whether that's mecha dogs or mecha mute, or like a mecha ape, similar to that of the mutants. Honestly, like, if they put out, this is kind of just a general question, if they put out a mecha mutant or a mecha ape type drop where it's very similar in structure to that of the mutants, could we see them rival the mutant apes? Like, I feel like you could see a pretty quick run up to about where the mutants are.
That's a great question. I think we have to wonder whether there's like a collaboration with 10KTF involved in that. That almost seems like it's being teased. With Yuga, they keep you guessing. They really do. The idea that another Yuga asset is going to compete with mutants that's not Coda's, I think Coda's have and can continue to because there's only 10,000 of them, whereas there's 20,000 mutants, but mutants are still mutants. Kix has his hand raised. Kix, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just, while I do agree with Eddie, I think that the delivery on switching to CCO, and I'm sure there could be some lack of, you know, trust as well, but I think that sometimes in the markets, we try to overfit narratives to price action, right? Like, we had Doodles above 10, we had Clone X above 10. Those both are like Clone X is like down at 8. You know what I mean? Like, Clone X shed 33% of its value in ETH in like a month, and there's no narrative around that, right? So I think a lot of people, like, they'll overfit price to narrative. It's not like Moonbirds went from 26 ETH to 15 ETH on this news. If that happened, I'd be like, oh yeah, in 2 weeks, like, that was 100% related to that. We've gone, Moonbirds was already pulling back. It was already at 18 ETH when this news came out. Now we're down at 15 ETH. Of course, that is a continued drop. But I do agree that there can be some, you know, that there's some people selling from loss of trust, or they don't like the roadmap anymore. I think that that's all potentially very valid, but you know, it also could just be half of the selling and buying could just be the weak price action that's in the market right now. But I do like Node's point of Yuga Labs, you know, controlling so much of the space out there. some may consider them to be the empire.
Dude, I was like, are you like in Marin's like astrology crystal ball thing?
No, it sounds like Disney World is where he's like hanging out. We're waiting in line for the ride, the Moonbird ride.
That was awesome, Kix. I love it when you bring in sound effects. All right, Jesse, you had your hand raised. One last comment?
No, we can wrap. I just wanted to make sure that Nick was consulted on this one thing, wanting other competitors. He seems like a monopolist at heart. I'm not sure, but we can wrap it up.
What do you think, Nick? You just want us to, you want to be, like, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know that we discussed someone in another NFT project.
P.O.'s saying he wants more competitors in the NFT content radio space. What say you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it's a good thing if the ecosystem's not able to support multiple players, then it's not really an ecosystem, you know? I'm on the same page. More hosts, the better. And it keeps, it's better, competing with yourself is definitely one thing, but competing against others can be pretty motivating. So it's always nice to have other people.
I compete with myself in the mirror every day, Nick. I wake up, I'm like, you suck, dude. You've just been losing money. You bum. I don't need any other competition other than that dude in the mirror. Look at me in the eyes every morning.
If you're fighting with yourself, Kix, the rest of us are screwed. Because I don't know if you guys realize, Captain Kix is a fucking dreamy motherfucker. I've seen him on I saw him on YouTube, and you don't really get the full effect till you've seen him in real life. He is a freaking dreamboat. I'm not joking. This guy's handsome.
Can we get Kix moving forward to give him motive?
That mustache hits different in real life.
Can we get Kix giving a motivating talk in the morning to the audience to say, all right, y'all fucking suck. Okay, you haven't been making some good trades. That's because you're a loser. Okay?
Kix, give it to us. Close us out.
Every morning, what you're going to want to do is you're going to wake up and you're going to find an NFT or you're going to want to find a coin that pumped massively overnight that you don't own. And then you want to start your day off being like, why the fuck didn't I buy? It's obvious. I'm an idiot, man. They just doubled overnight. I'm an absolute dumbass. Then after that, after I really feel down in the dumps, I'll go find a coin that's pumped like 30-45%. Then I'll just look at myself in the mirror. Be like, why didn't you buy that one, bud? Huh? Everything you touch goes down. Why can't you find one of these things that goes up? Okay? And you sometimes want to mix a little bit of anger, but other times just rotate in tears and just crying. And you want to make sure that the bathroom door's locked, because if someone comes in and checks on you, you need a little bit of time to recover, okay? Then you'd be like, no, I was just on a phone call, okay? I was yelling at someone else for being just an absolute sack of potatoes in the market. I feel like a 1980s NFL player. I got CTE, my pension's dried up, okay? Inflation's through the roof, so the money I made last year isn't even worth as much anymore. And all I'm doing is just lose it.
That's the type of motivating talk that we're looking for. Thank you for that.
Hey, if you want motivating talks, make sure you tune into this show every show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. EST, each and every week. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have Voltura on. We're having Zeneca on the YouTube in just a couple of hours. We had Maren Altman on the show this morning. Super Yeti show, sponsoring the show on Thursday. Rock with us. Check out the NFT that's pinned to the top. Check out FTX. We're not going anywhere. We need competitors. Keep showing up. Keep listening to the show. We're dropping a fucking hoodie. Let's go.